1-1758, Perrone versus Medina County Board of Revision et al. For the appellant, appearing pro se is Mr. Perrone. Go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Raymond Perrone. I'm the pro se appellant in this case. Your Honor, the United States and Ohio Constitution require uniform rules in establishing both the gross tax and the net tax of real property. The facts in this case are undisputed. The Medina County Auditor determined the gross tax of the subject property by replacing the actual value of 1 acre of land with a higher artificial value based on its use as a homestead. Then the auditor reduced the actual value of the forest land portion of the property by 50% in determining the assessed taxable value used in establishing the gross tax of the property and listed this unlawfully determined taxable value on the tax list in duplicate. The law requires that in establishing the gross tax of all property, whether commercial, residential, or vacant, a uniform rate of taxation must be applied to a taxable value that is a uniform percentage of the actual value of the property.
Now, let me ask you some questions. Your property is about 9.86 acres.
Yeah, nearly 10 acres.
And 7.5 of it is forest?
Yes, designated as forest land. You're correct, sir.
So you have 2.36 acres non-forest land.
That's correct.
And there's a house on the 2.36
yes,
acres.
That's right.
Okay. Now, as I understand, your one complaint is that for the forest land, the statute says that the tax rate shall be reduced by 50%.
Yes, Your Honor.
But the auditor doesn't do that. He reduces the value by 50% and applies.
And determines the taxable value by doing that. In Park Investment versus the Board of Tax Appeals, the court clearly established that.
He takes the 50% based on, he just reduces the
he
value.
He reduces the value based on its use or nature.
Well, for the forest land.
For the forest land, yes, sir.
And we're not talking about the other land. That's that doesn't get reduced.
No, it doesn't get reduced, sir.
Okay. So for the forest land, he takes 50% of the value, and you're not complaining in your appeal or anything about his valuation of the forest land.
No, I agree that the value of the forest land should be $7,299 per acre.
Okay, and that's what he valued it at.
That's what the actual value of the property is. That's what both of us agreed to.
Okay. Now, do you then, as I understand what you're saying, then is that there's somehow a problem when the ultimate tax is computed by taking 50% of the value rather than 50% of the tax rate?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, has that issue been litigated before?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I believe we're maybe in new ground here. If I may continue then. The only exception to the uniform rule is land that is enrolled in the current agricultural use valuation program. That land may be assessed based on its current use instead of its actual value. The subject property is not enrolled in the CAUV program.
Okay, now that's the 2.36 acres.
There is no current agricultural use valuation.
That's right. That's not enrolled in any CAUV.
None of the land is. None of the 10 acres.
None of the land is. And so your contention is that the whole 2.36 acres, everything that's left other than the forest land, should be valued in total.
My contention is that the total value of the property is just using the land value is $71,970.
So you contest his valuation or the method of valuation?
Right. We have a second issue that will come into it. It deals with the 2.36 acres. But I'll just finish this, and we'll get into that too.
Okay. Now this being the forest land.
The second issue deals with homestead valuation. The first issue deals with forest land valuation.
Okay.
The law requires that the tax reduction credit, such as forest land reduction, and the tax reduction factor, such as homestead valuation, must be applied to reduce the net tax of the property. Tax reductions used in determining the net tax of the property are required to be applied after the actual value, the taxable value, and the gross tax have been established by uniform rule. Real property is required to be valued and taxed in accordance with the law. The auditor's failure to follow the law, as interpreted by this court, resulted in illegally overtaxing the subject property by $1,103.68 for tax year 1998.
Do you have your figure set out someplace in the transcript?
There, through the transcript, I put it also into the supplement to the brief, my exact figures and how I came to these figures.
Okay, but are they part of the record at Board of Tax Appeals?
Yes, they're in the, we talked about them in the transcript. I put them in the brief to the BTA. I put them in the supplement to the brief to this court.
Okay, but they weren't submitted as an exhibit to the BTA.
In various parts of it, yes. In my opening statement, part of it was there dealing with the
forestry. Opening statement's not evidence. I'm sorry.
It was exhibit one.
Okay.
Then I talked about it later in the case dealing with the homestead, and then in the brief, the legal brief, I put that in there, and then again in the supplement, and I've talked about it ever since we were all the way through the court. Your Honor, I'd like to continue. In 1964, this court ruled in Park Investment Company versus the Board of Tax Appeals that valuation based on current use of real property violates the uniform requirement of Section 2, Article 12 of the Ohio Constitution.
Okay, now what current use has the auditor violated? What has he done?
Well, first, in determining the taxable value, the current use of the forest land in determining the taxable value. The court made it clear that the only way to determine a taxable value is to reduce the actual value by a uniform percentage. 50% of the value is not the actual value of the forest land. When he does this, what happens is the gross tax is lower than it should be, and that affects the other reductions, such as the reduction under 319.301 and 319.302, because they're based on the gross tax. And if you change that gross tax, then myself and any other similarly situated taxpayer is denied the equal protection of the law. We're denied the proper amount of reduction under those statutes.
Well, let me understand here now. We're talking really about the way the auditor computes.
On that, yes, we are, sir.
Okay. He takes 50% of value. You want 50% of tax rate.
Right. It should be applied the same as all other tax exemptions in determining the net tax. It cannot be done before the gross tax is established. Because the gross tax is used to establish other tax reductions. If you change the gross tax from what it should legal and prescribed method, then you're going to deny the taxpayer his proper reduction under other tax reductions.
I understand.
Right, in the reason was in House Bill 920, and then again under Section 2A of Article 12. Since that was enacted, you cannot change the gross tax. You need to apply the tax reduction in forestry the same way you apply the other tax reductions as a credit, reducing the net tax. You cannot determine your gross tax using that.
Now, 5713.23, as I read it, says forestry or timberland shall be taxed annually at 50% of the local tax rate.
Correct. And the Constitution under Article 2, Section 36 says it's to be exempt from taxation. So 50%, if you tax something at 50%, you exempt the other 50%. That's how it complies with the Constitution, with Article 2, Section 36. So so therefore, since the enactment of, since House Bill 920 and the enactment of Article 2, 2A, Section 2A of Article 12, the only way that it can be applied as a tax credit like all other tax reductions, exemptions, and rollbacks. If you do it the way the audit is doing it, you're denying equal protection to a good portion of people.
Now you're talking about tax credits here.
Well, they're called, in Sweatland versus Kenny, the Supreme Court said it doesn't matter whether you call it a rollback, tax reduction or a tax exemption, they all mean the same thing. There's no statutory they said it means the same thing. I use the word credit rather than using tax reduction, tax credit, because it keeps it, to make it simple. That's basically what they are, is credits. You come up with a gross tax of about $6,600, and then you reduce the gross tax to come up with your net tax. And you reduce your net tax with, I call them credit, but they're tax reductions, tax rollbacks, and tax exemptions.
Now, as I understand, let's say the land is worth $1,000,
just yes,
for hypothetical, and the tax rate is 100 mils. Reading 5713.23 says shall be taxed annually at 50% of the local tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
So if the local tax rate is 100 mils,
mm-hmm,
it should be taxed at 50 mils.
Yes, sir.
That's your contention.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then, but see, prior to the enactment of, prior to 920, House Bill 920, and the enactment of Section 2A, Article 12, it would have been possible. It wouldn't have been legal, but it would have been possible to do it the way the auditor does it. That is, to do it in value, because there was no other tax exemptions that would have been influenced by that illegal method of applying it. But after those two laws, after the law and the constitutional amendment, you can no longer do it that way. The only way that it can be done is go back to the Constitution, which requires it to be an exemption, a tax exemption. And as I said, 50% of the tax, and you're exempt from 50% of the tax. And therefore, you have to just list it as a tax exemption, as you list the 2.5% reduction, the elderly and disabled reduction, the reduction in taxes under 319.301 and 319.302. And then that would determine the net tax. Gross tax has been established by this court for all property, and the same rules apply to all property, whether they're resident, whether there's a house on it, whether there's a residential, and so on. I'd like to get into the homestead part of it, if we understand this part. On homestead, I've researched, and I've only come up on two places in the law and in the rules, the administrative code, where you can value a property based on its use. The one is under current agricultural use valuation, which this property is not enrolled in. That would be, I think, that's found in the Ohio Administrative Code. And the other place that you can value the property for tax purposes, based on its current use instead of its actual value, is under 323.151 and 323.152. Regarding both of those, Section 5705-5-07C of the Ohio Administrative Code prohibits home site valuation of land not enrolled in the CAUV program. Section 323.151 of the Ohio Revised Code allows the tax commissioner to adopt to adopt rules for uniform classification and valuation of real property or portions of real property as a homestead in determining the tax reduction under that section. However, Part D of Section 323.152 prohibits the use of the homestead value in determining the property's value as listed and assessed for taxation on the tax bill and tax list and tax duplicate. They are, what the legislature did in 323.152 was basically give a break to the elderly and disabled and homeowners under the 2.5% reduction. So what they've done is they're exempting them on the portion of the property that's considered the dwelling or the part of the land.
You want your whole 2.36 acres valued as a unit?
Yes, sir. Can I save any time?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Ms. Devaney.
May it please the court. My name is Trina Devaney, and this is William Thorne. We're assistant prosecutors from Medina County, and we're representing the auditor. This case basically comes down to two issues. One, whether the property in question was uniformly taxed, and two, whether there is essentially a double dip concept. Mr. Ferrone has been unable to show to the BTA any evidence that would support that his property was not uniformly taxed or that it was not taxed in accordance with the OAC, ORC, and case law. The BTA wrote an extensive opinion and based its opinion on the evidence that was presented before it.
Now, as I understand, that the auditor does take 50% of the in the forest land. We have really two distinct issues, the forest land and then the homestead.
Correct.
Now, under the forest land, you take 50% of the value of the property as opposed to 50% of the tax rate.
Correct. Medina County is not alone in this. Most of the counties in the state do this. And in fact, it has been approved by the tax commissioner as an appropriate method. And in the case at the BTA, we did the mathematical calculations of taking the true value using Mr. Ferrone's method, the statutory method, and the auditor's method, and we came within pennies, depending on rounding errors, as to who would be ahead from year to year. They are essentially the same taxing.
Okay. But you're not doing what the statute says.
Correct.
Okay. Now, on the homestead issue, his position, as I understand it, is that you are taxing this in essence like you would tax the CAUV.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Under the forestry regulations promulgated by the tax commissioner, specifically 1501.3-10-02, which requires a 1 acre separation on forestry lands in cases where there are residences, calls it a home site. It's basically taking out the improved land portion, dictating it as the 1 acre.
Now, I can see that if the home site is contained within the forestry.
Correct.
Acreage. Is there any evidence here that the home site is within, it's not part of the 7.5 acres that's set aside, is it?
It's my understanding that the actual acreage, the 1 acre, is the acre that is dictated to the house. And the improvements.
But it's not contained within the forestry boundaries.
I'm not sure about that, nor do I believe there's been evidence.
Wouldn't that be a difference? I mean, if I have, just because I have forestry land, does that mean that I am entitled to a 1 acre, you know, that I have this 1 acre set aside over here? I got a 100 acre piece of
property.
Sure.
I've got 10 acres over in this corner that are forestry lands.
Correct.
Over here someplace else, and the other 90 acres, I've got a house.
Correct.
Do I get 1 acre?
Of your 100 acres, there would be 1 acre that would be set aside for the improvement acre. For instance, if there are parcels within the county...
You're arguing that it doesn't have to be contained within the boundaries of the forest land.
No. In fact, throughout the entire state and all of Medina County, there is 1 acre that is dictated as the improved acre. You have improved land versus unimproved land. And land doesn't have to be valued as completely unimproved, simply...
But that's not a statutory classification. We have industrial and residential, but aren't those
sure.
the only two?
And in residential properties, you're going to have a higher value placed on, if it's a 1 acre or less, it's already on there. If it's more than 1 acre, you're going to have a higher value based on the improvements, the sewer, the water, what have you. It's an improved piece of land and therefore should be valued higher.
So what happens to the remaining land? How's that valued?
Valued at a separate amount. And that value, as was shown in the BTA case, is the same value as unimproved land that his neighbors have.
Well, I don't think that's, you know, the question here is that this, why is this land is just arbitrarily set aside?
The 1 acre where the
yeah.
house is, I wouldn't say it was arbitrary because there are improvements on that land. Sewer lines have been laid, water lines have been laid. Those are improvements to the land and therefore are not vacant land and shouldn't be valued as vacant land. You cannot go and put a house immediately on a piece of vacant land without first laying the sewer and water. On this parcel, on that 1 acre, there's already the sewer and the water and therefore it is an improved value.
Isn't that taken into account with the house?
The land and the improvements are separate. The house would be a separate valuation. And in fact, the land that...
Well, my point is the sewer and the water. Let's say I have a house and I have a septic and a well.
Correct.
Aren't those valued as part of the house, or are they valued part of the land?
Part of the improvements on the land.
Go ahead.
Mr. Ferron relies heavily on Park Investment versus BTA, the 1964 case, for his uniform taxation argument. However, that case dealt with whether or not the entire state of Ohio taxed parcels at a 35% rate and Cuyahoga County taxed its parcels at a 40% rate. The ruling on that was, well, everybody has to tax it at a 35% rate. That's not the argument here. That's not the issue before us here. The issue is actually whether or not the values placed on Mr. Ferron's land for his forestry, for the improved land, for his vacant land, should all be spread out over his entire parcel, which is what his contention is. That would raise the value of his forestry land and then increase his reduction on the 50% reduction.
If that's the way it should be done. I mean, that's...
Sure, but my contention here is that not all land should be valued the same. Land all has different values. That's why you have appraisers. Appraisers throughout the country and throughout the state appraise land at the values that it's used for, whether it's
Isn't forestry, or... But aren't you subdividing the parcel? In other words, the taxes are assessed based on a parcel.
Sure.
And you're now you want to then subdivide the parcel?
Yes, and there's nothing in the case law that says that you can't value different pieces of a parcel differently.
But
exactly
you come up with a total value for the parcel.
Correct.
Okay.
And then that total value is reduced by 50%. that 50% reduction is placed on the tax card, and then the other reductions are taken from there. Mr. Ferrone was made aware when he first started the forestry program that that's the way we did it. That's the way most counties do it, because it is unfeasible to print multiple copies of the tax cards. The computer programs have not been set up to take that into account, and it would have been very costly for the taxpayers to essentially go that route when the mathematics come out the same, do a 50% reduction, and then place that on the tax card.
Would you discuss the res judicata issue that was raised at the board?
Sure. We've been in and out of litigation on this case for many, many years. And in fact, the bulk of the issues that are before us, before the BTA this last time, had been decided in 1994 in a decision decided by the BTA. The BTA chose not to readdress those issues because it had already completed a decision on it.
And what issues? I'll
sorry.
Go back to the BTA
decision.
But I'm assuming it's not the two issues that we're talking about.
No, it is not the two issues. Additionally, there has been a new issue brought before us today that Mr. Ferrone discussed, and that is the 50% reduction, not allowing for full reductions on his other available deductions. That was never argued in the BTA. It was never brought before the BTA. Nor was there ever any evidence presented to them regarding that.
No. State that again.
My understanding from reading the briefs and from today's discussion that Mr. Ferrone is attempting to promulgate a new rationale as to why the auditor doesn't reduce the taxes correctly. And that new argument is that the 50% reduction that's placed on the property card, on the tax duplicate, doesn't permit the full reduction of other items, reductions that might be available to him.
I thought he was arguing that in his brief, but maybe not.
He was arguing it in his brief. However, that was never argued in the BTA.
Okay.
Nor was there ever any evidence to that effect. Mr. Ferrone attempts to back into a valuation on his property. He states that he doesn't dispute the value that's placed from the auditor, yet when the auditor places the 50% reduction on the tax duplicate and then goes forward with the other deductions to come up with a total tax amount, Mr. Ferrone essentially goes backwards, taking that 50% reduction and doing a mathematical computation that creates essentially a double reduction on forestry for himself. To permit that would give him special treatment, which of course would not be uniform taxation and would be against the Ohio and U.S. constitutions. Therefore, Mr. Ferrone has not been able to present any evidence to the BTA that he was ununiformly taxed or that his reductions were not appropriate or did not result in uniform taxation. And therefore, we request that this court uphold the decision of the BTA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ferrone, you have about 22 seconds left.
Oh, my gosh. The section, the rights code that she talked about dealing with the without being able to put the home site into the forestry, that deals with qualification eligibility of forest land. It doesn't authorize the current use valuation of either forest land or the home site acre. Also, If you do, if they take the time to read the transcript, they'll see that we did talk about the effect that their method has on 319.301 and 319.302. It's in the transcript. If they want to read it, I've got a copy right here.
Okay. Thank you very much. The case will be submitted.